Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Tim Ellis, in for Dan Bross. Army officials are investigating the death of a Stryker Brigade soldier whose body was found Monday in his barracks room on Fort Wainwright. A U.S. Army News release issued Wednesday says fellow Stryker soldiers found the body of 20-year-old Specialist Charles Michael Bodie. He was assigned to the 1st Stryker Brigade combat team based at Fort Wainwright. USARAC spokesman John Pinnell says Army officials won't comment on the case while it's under investigation. The news release says Bodie is from Fresno, California. He joined the Army in August 2017 and came to Alaska in December of that year. Members of a Fort Wainwright dive team found the body of a drowning victim Tuesday night in a lake on the east side of Fairbanks. Three divers with the Fort Wainwright Fire Department found the victim's body just before midnight Tuesday in the lake next to Lakeview Terrace, according to a news release issued Wednesday by the Post Public Affairs Office. The release says Fairbanks Fire Department officials asked their Fort Wainwright counterparts to send the divers, who are part of the only certified dive recovery team in this part of the state. Alaska State Troopers say they got a report of the drowning around 9:30 p.m. Tuesday. A trooper news release posted Wednesday says the victim won't be identified until next of kin is notified. A recent U.S. Supreme Court decision is affecting the enforcement of fishing regulations on the Kuskokwim River. KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur reports that for the first time in at least 7 years, no federal wildlife officers are patrolling the lower Kuskokwim River during king salmon season.
The Department of the Interior chose to withhold federal officers following a decision in March by the U.S. Supreme Court. In Sturgeon v. Frost, the High Court ruled in favor of moose hunter John Sturgeon, who was driving a hovercraft through the Yukon-Charley River's National Preserve when the Park Service stopped him and ordered him off his hovercraft. State law allows hovercrafts in Alaska, but the National Park Service does not on federal lands. Sturgeon's attorneys argued that it's up to the state to decide what kind of transportation can be used in Alaska's navigable waterways through federal land under ANILCA, the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act. The court agreed and ruled unanimously in favor of Sturgeon. The state of Alaska celebrated. Governor Mike Dunleavy called the decision, quote, an important moment for Alaska sovereignty. While the ruling contains language leaving federal subsistence fishery jurisdiction in place through federal lands in Alaska, authorities now say they are not sure they have the authority to enforce it on the lower Kuskokwim, where the river passes through the Yukon Delta National Wildlife Refuge. Refuge manager Ray Bourne says the Trump administration has decided to put the issue on hold pending clarification.
Based on the Sturgeon decision, the Department of the Interior has decided not to send any refuge officers out on the river until we resolve what that Supreme Court decision means.
In other words, they haven't decided whether the landmark Katie John ruling on which federal subsistence fishing regulation is based allows federal authorities to enforce it. About 200 miles of the lower river falls within the wildlife refuge. And this year, like several years before, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has taken over management of the king salmon fishery in these federal waters. That management decision remains in place, but for now, it's just Alaska wildlife troopers patrolling the lower river for the first time in 7 years during king salmon season. With help from Steve Heimel, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur in Bethel.
The U.S. House of Representatives has passed a spending bill with a provision that would sideline permitting for the Pebble Mine. But Alaska Public Media Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin reports the provision is unlikely to be included in the final version of the law.
California Congressman Jared Huffman is the sponsor of the anti-Pebble Amendment. He says what Pebble Limited Partnership wants to do near the headwaters of Bristol Bay is unprecedented.
There is no other U.S. hard rock mining operation that captures and treats such a massive volume of contaminated mine water, which is harmful to fish and to public health. We know that mines are not invincible. Things go wrong.
Huffman says an accident at the mine could devastate Bristol Bay's valuable salmon fishery, degrade native cultures, and ruin businesses that rely on the region's world-class sports fishing. The Democrats' amendment would cut off funding to the Corps of Engineers to finish the environmental impact statement on the mine. Alaska Congressman Don Young argued against Huffman's amendment.
You're ignoring the science, and you brag about the science all the time. Let the science prove us right or wrong. That should be your responsibility, not saying you're for or against the might and gives all these doomsday things there. They may happen. If that happens, it will not happen because it will not issue the permits.
The amendment passed, 233-201. The House then approved the whole spending bill. But the anti-Pebble amendment is unlikely to even come up in the Republican-controlled Senate, which is working on its own spending bills. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
The summer travel season is well underway. Officials at Fairbanks International Airport say they're expecting about 2,000 passengers to depart daily during the season. Almost all of them are dropped off at the curb in front of the terminal, and some of the drivers are leaving their vehicles unattended at the curb, creating traffic congestion. That's prompted airport police and fire officials to renew their warning about those double-parked vehicles. KOAC's Robin reports.
It's not the first time the airport has had to crack down on people leaving their cars at the curb, but with a possible record-setting travel summer, the congestion is getting worse. Airport Police Chief Aaron Danielson says unattended vehicles will put other traffic at risk.
When people get blocked in, they get angry, they yell at each other. Taxi cab drivers and passenger traffic get conflicted as well. Last week, I had somebody hop up on the sidewalk on the curb just to get around some of the congestion.
Every once in a while, an ambulance needs to meet a patient coming off a flight. And because the airport doesn't have its own, one comes from the University Fire Department and has to come through the front concourse roadway.
The front concourse is the easiest and fastest way for us to get emergency crews, particularly UAF medics, up in the terminal.
Fairbanks International is small compared to others. It gets the international designation, mostly from the big freighters going to Europe and China. It has a friendly hometown feeling. But the law about leaving a vehicle at the curb has been nationwide since the attack on New York City and Washington in 2001. So Danielson says locals should not think enforcement at a federally regulated airport would be loose. Twice as many people go through the Fairbanks airport between Memorial Day and Labor Day as at other times of the year. So the police department is turning some attention to traffic control and citing any unattended vehicles on the concourse with a $70 ticket. The airport offers free parking for the first 30 minutes. The first hour is $3. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
And I'm Tim Ellis.